Broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor Eli Calvin Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us, entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we look to thee at this hour, we worship thee in spirit and in truth, and praise thy name for the exceeding great and precious promises that thou hast given us, and that it is impossible for thee to lie. We know thou art a faithful God. Over and over we have seen thy manifested faithfulness to our soul, and we want to give thee thanks and praise for this. And so we look to thee that even in this hour, thou wilt show thyself faithful, and that thou wilt send this word that thou hast given us home to each and every heart, and that the Holy Spirit will do his work in convincing and convicting men of sin, and showing them their need of Christ, and showing them by faith the Lord Jesus, who was lifted up for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Oh, do thy work in our hearts at this hour, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
There's a blessed pilot coming for me soon. Come to you, it may be evening morning or a few or a two. So ready for the door, and your mind is just a tool. They can see the scene when you come. We can see the angel glory in the servant to come. They can see the scene when you come. Thank you.
Say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Our hearts are greatly encouraged as we see God working and moving in many hearts throughout Radio Land. We want you to write us. And let us pray for you, pray with you. And when you write, be sure to ask for the book that we've given away free this month, entitled The Forgiveness of Sin, A Practical Exposition of Psalm 130 by John Owen, one of the great divines. The book opens with the author's own paraphrase of Psalm 130, a brief devotional classic in itself. And then follows 19 chapters and subtopics, exploring the depth of meaning in the Psalm of Forgiveness, comprising what is probably the best commentary ever written on this psalm. You'll want a copy of it for your own use in the study and meditation upon Psalm 130. Write for it by name, The Forgiveness of Sin by John Owen. And when you write, ask for the messages that we're delivering this month entitled The Preciousness of Christ to His People. They will rejoice your heart, for they certainly have rejoiced my heart in preparing them and preaching them this month to you. And as you listen there, we do trust that God is dealing with your heart. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. It has been a blessing to my heart to share with you these messages on the preciousness of Christ to His people, because the Lord Jesus Christ is all in all to the people whom He has bought with the price of His own precious blood. And dear friend, I can say personally that Christ Jesus, my Lord, is precious to my soul. Yes, every one of God's children will declare that Christ is precious to their soul, because they have found Him in everything suitable to their to meet their spiritual needs, and He is made all in all to them. And so as we go into our message today, we desire to show how Christ in a special way reveals Himself unto His people, showing Himself faithful and showing Himself as the one who is the king of their soul, of their heart, and of their life. Well, let us look at a few of these characters of our Lord in particular as we go through into our message today, and then look at our Lord Jesus in His office of king as precious to His people. All right, will you listen? The Lord Jesus Christ is first of all the author and the finisher of our faith. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Also from the Scriptures, He is the anchor of our faith as it holds to Him within the veil in heaven, as we read to you out of Hebrews chapter 6. Not only that, but He is our advocate with the Father as He pleads for us in heaven. He is also our bridegroom, for we are married by faith to Him and he is our head and our ruler, our king and our Lord. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious to his people because he is the bread of life, on whom we feed spiritually, for he is that manna which came down from heaven. Again, the Scripture speaks of him as being the captain of our salvation, the one who leads us into every battle and makes us more than conquerors in himself. In another place, the Scripture speaks of the Lord Jesus as being our counselor, our comforter, our consolation, for we find in him our rest and hope and peace as we by faith rest in him upon the merits of his shed blood. Also, God's people find in the Lord Jesus Christ a preciousness because he is the deliverer of our never-dying souls from the wrath of God and from hell itself. And then also because he delivers us in every battle and always causes us to triumph in himself. Also, he is our example to follow, our friend to lean upon, the foundation on which we stand, and the fountain of living waters to which we come and drink of him who is the water of life. But there is one particular attribute of God, character of God, as he is revealed in the Holy Scriptures to our hearts, and it is in this character we desire to look at him in our message today and show that he is precious to his people. That office, that character, is that he is our king. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is king to his people, for he is the one who has conquered us by his love, obtained the throne of our heart by conquest, rules over us in his kingdom, and shares with us the spoils of victory both in this life and the life to come. When we think of Christ in his kingly office, our hearts are made to rejoice in the fact that all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth, and that he has the power over all things, and therefore able to conquer our hearts and the hearts of his people. We rejoice also in the fact that in his kingly office, he has conquered our hearts and made us willing in the day of his power to come out of Satan's kingdom and to follow him as our king all the days of our life. And dear friend, it is in his kingly office that he is precious to your seeker's heart. Listen now, as we go into our message. In Colossians 1, verses 12 and 13, we read that we are to give thanks unto the Father who has made it possible for us to be delivered from the power of darkness, that is, from the power of Satan's kingdom, and to be brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does this by his kingly power. Yes, Christ has this kingly office, both in name and authority, and in much reality. For what he has revealed unto us as our prophet, and what he has purchased for us by being our priest, he applies to us as our king. And I know you will surely ask, Pastor, how? First, by subduing our souls by his Spirit. Second, in ruling over us as his subjects. And then praise his name. Third, by ordering all things in the kingdom of his providence for our good. Or we read in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So in our message today, as we said, we would like to look at our Lord Jesus Christ as precious to his people in his kingly office. And under this heading, we will bring out 2 points. First, how Christ as king obtains the heart, or the throne of the hearts of his people. And second, how he rules in his kingdom. and how he expresses his kingly authority over his people who are the subjects of his kingdom. Will you listen? First then the question is asked, how does Christ, our King, obtain the throne of the heart of his people? He does it by conquest. For indeed, Christ is King not only in name, but in fact and reality. And this each one of his elect find out in time as he comes to deliver them and bring them unto himself. Though the souls of his elect are his by the personal gift of his Father, and they are his by the shedding of his precious redeeming blood, yet Satan holds every one of God's elect and will not let them go. Therefore Christ, the strong one, must enter into the stronger one's house, enter into Satan's house, and bind him so that his people can be delivered from his power. You see, we were in darkness, dead in trespasses and sins, blinded by the god of this world, who is Satan, taken captive by him at his will. We are held in the prison house of sin, of death, and of wrath. Therefore, Christ must come, and he does, to loose us and set us free by his conquest, or we would never be saved, we would never be delivered, we would never be able or enabled to come out of the kingdom of Satan and saved by God's marvelous grace. Alright? Let us go into it and show this great truth to you from Scripture. And I pray that you too may rejoice in our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your heart may praise him in his kingly office as he delivers his people. It is in Acts 26, 17 and 18. We read that the Apostle Paul was sent to preach the gospel, that the eyes of the Gentiles might be opened, to see themselves captives of sin and Satan, and that this gospel might turn them from darkness to light, and that they might be delivered from the power of Satan unto God. I ask for what reason? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, our Lord Jesus said in Luke 4 that the Spirit of the Lord God was upon him, that he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This, dear friend, he did for his people while he was here upon earth, and he is still doing this today by his Holy Spirit under the preaching of the word, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I believe that he is doing it right now in some heart as you listen there beside your radio today. Again, it is spoken of our Lord and King in Revelation 1:5 that he loved us and washed us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and forever. Yes, this is what he has done for his people in the gospel as their king. He has set us free. He has delivered us. And again, I'll ask, how did he do it? How does he do it? And how will he do it in your heart? He will do it by conquest, for he comes by his power to break your heart and to bring you unto himself by his Spirit. Dear friend, I say by conquest, for you see, our hearts were set against him. But by his power, he began to break down every barrier that was erected against him in our hearts, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And by his power, praise his name, he brought from captivity to obedience every sinner that he has saved unto himself. You see, under the convicting power of his Holy Spirit, he battered down all of our vain hopes, brought to naught all of our ambitions and plans, and made us willing and in the day of his power to crown him king and lord of our life, and give up unto him all the keys to all of the rooms of our heart. And dear friend, that's why he is precious to my heart. And that's the reason why he is precious, the heart of everyone whom he saves. Further, by his Spirit, he leveled all of our mountains of self-righteousness, bringing us down at his feet in repentance and making us to cry after him for mercy. You see, he withered the grass of our pride and every fair flower of our so-called merit and good works he made to fade away, and we stood before him as a naked sinner, crying after him for his garment of righteousness, and this garment to cover us, and to let us stand before God, clothed and in our right mind, and that we would follow after him by faith, finding in him our all and all. Yes, he even by his Spirit put a cry in our heart. And this is what we cried, "Mercy, Lord. Mercy unto my never-dying soul. Oh, that I knew where I might find you so that I could follow you all the days of my life." You see, this is the reason Christ is precious to his people in his kingly office, because he broke our stubborn, rebellious hearts at his feet and made us willing in the day of his power to seek his face and cry after him and the crowning king. And dear friend, how patiently the King of Glory, our Lord Jesus Christ, waited as he slowly but surely conquered our will, won our affection, and made us willing to give up to him all of the keys to all of the rooms of our heart. And this is the reason I love him. This is the reason he is precious to my heart, because he so patiently waited to teach me of himself and to free my will so that I would follow him fully all the days of my life. How precious he is to my heart. Oh, how my heart praises him for this today, because he did not have to do it, dear friend. No, he did not have to do it, but only out of free grace and mercy, he did do it. He made me his own by drawing me on with his cords of love, and this is what he does to every soul whom he saves. Let me say it again. This is the reason why Christ, in his kingly office, is precious to his people, because he conquered them and drew them unto himself by his Spirit through the gospel. But again, in the second place, let us see how our king rules in his kingdom, and how he acts to exercise his kingly authority over his people, and why he is precious to his people in this authority. First, it is because he writes upon our hearts his law and gives us the spirit of obedience. You see, we read in Hebrews 10:16-17 these words, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." This then is the way he exercises his kingly authority over us, and why his people praise him for it. For he writes in our hearts his laws and gives us a delight for these laws, so that we desire to follow him and keep his commandments, which we as God's people do not find to be grievous. Again, he shows this kingly authority over us by rebuking us and chastening us. For Hebrews 12:6-7 tells us, "Whom he loves, he rebukes and chastens." And I ask, why does he do this? That we might be partakers of his holiness, according to Hebrews 12:10. He desires that we should be sanctified, both in spirit, soul, and body. So he is faithful to chastise us, to keep us in line as his own dear children, so that we might be more and more made in his likeness and in his image. Again, he shows his kingly power and authority, and his people say he is precious for doing this by restraining and keeping back his children from sin. Oh, how precious this is. Yes, he keeps his subjects from iniquity,
by withholding them from those fires which their heart would lead them into. For how precious he is in doing this. For we know that left to ourselves, we would wander like sheep away from the fold and get caught in all kinds of sins and troubles. My dear friend, how many times has my Lord delivered me from my way, hedging me about, preventing me from sin, removing the occasion to sin, and graciously giving help to bear up under every trial. And I know and believe that all of God's children can vouch for this, that his goodness has been manifested toward them again and again and again to keep them from falling into sin and to go into their own way. Also, our Lord in his kingly office shows his power and authority over us, and his people know him to be precious in this by protecting us in our ways and does not suffer us to relapse into a state of sin and bondage to Satan anymore. No, he doesn't. Praise be to his holy name. Our King does not only save us, but he keeps us by his power. You see, in his high priestly prayer of John 17, verses 11 and 12, he prayed, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in the world. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. And how precious this is to our heart that he keeps us. Again, we read in 1 Peter 1:5 that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. And as Jude puts it, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus. Oh, how precious, I say again, is this unto my heart and to all of God's people, for he is precious. For, you see, we're not kept by our grace, nor our power, by our strength, or by our wisdom, but we are kept by Christ our King, who keeps us from falling and shall present us faultless before the Father in that day. He does this because he loves us. You see, he does not rule by compulsion, but with love. His law is a law of love, written upon our hearts. He rules children, dear friends, not slaves. For it is written of him, a bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench. But in meekness and gentleness he draws us, conquering us, saving us, chastising us, writing his law upon our hearts, and keeps us by his omnipotent power day by day. Oh, what a King, what a Lord, what a Savior is given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? I pray that you do, and if not, that he will deal with your heart in his kingly power today. Do you want a copy of this message? Then write us. We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.